Bye-bye. you are.
You are my God.
Oh yes, Lord, and there is nothing you cannot do.
There is nothing you cannot do.
There's no mountain
you cannot move.
Lord, I trust in you.
I trust in you.
For you are my God.
You
Hallelujah.
Are my
we sing
God.
That again. Oh Lord, there is nothing you cannot do. Yes, Lord.
There is nothing you cannot do.
There's no mountain
you cannot move.
Oh, I trust in you.
I trust in you.
Hey, oh yes, oh yes.
You are my
To the top. We sing again. Oh Lord, my God.
Oh Lord, my God.
Lord, I trust.
I trust in you.
Put your hands up and just say, I trust you, Lord.
I trust in you.
For you are my God. Him, oh Lord my God, I trust.
Oh Lord my God,
the creator of all things, I trust in you.
I trust in you.
For you know all things, you see all things.
I trust
Hallelujah.
In you.
Oh yes, God, we trust in you, Lord. Hallelujah.
You I trust in you.
Yes, Lord, we put our trust in you. You are our God, God who cannot fail, God who doesn't lose, God who overwhelms the enemy, God who protects us, heals, delivers, sets us free. Altogether good God, our trust is in you. Without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we cannot build. Without you, we cannot flourish. Without you, life is meaningless. Yes, we can accomplish all kinds of things, but it all ends up being nothing. It is that which you produce in our lives, that which you grace us with, that lasts. For everything that comes from you has an eternal purpose. And so, Lord, we rest on your goodness today and say, Father, have your way. Speak clearly to us and help us be everything we ought to be. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to this evening service. This evening I'm going to continue with our discuss from this morning, which actually started a few weeks back. For the Word of God says in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, it speaks very specifically to us. It says, If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. The seeking of God's face is so that we can hear what God has to say. But it also says, turn from their wicked ways. Now, our wicked ways is not just sinful acts of lying, cheating, stealing, immorality, and all of that. Wicked ways are ways of unbelief that make it impossible for God to do what God wants to do in our lives. Those are primarily what wicked ways are. Anything that we do that makes it impossible for God to do what he wants to do. The Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ that he could not do many great miracles in his hometown because of the act of dishonor. And wicked ways can be an act of dishonor, disrespect. It's a wicked way because it makes God not able to do what God wants to do. Wicked ways is me not honoring God with my giving of my tithes, of my offerings, because then he cannot open the windows of heaven and pour out unto me a blessing. And so the Word of God says, because of the actions of his people, his name is blasphemed. His name is being dragged through the mud. Because there are certain things God, he can't do it. God is not going to bless wickedness. God is not going to bless unbelief. He says, a double-minded man cannot expect to receive anything from God. Now, how does the double-minded man become that? Because he's listening to other voices. He's not mixing the word of God that comes into his life with faith. He's not waiting. Now, when we think about faith, many times we think faith means I have faith, I believe God for something, and voila, it happens just like that. But that's not how faith works. If anybody teaches you that that's how faith works, they're not telling you the whole picture. For example, in Mark 11, it says, if you have God's kind of faith, if you have faith, the faith of God, have God's kind of faith, or have faith in God, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say, or those things which you are saying, shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. Now, if I say to the mountain, be cast into the sea, and it moved and fell into the sea, I don't have any reason to doubt. Because it's gone already. But because it's still there, that's why I am counseled not to doubt. The problem is still there. I've prayed about it. I believe God for it. I've spoken to it, and it is still there. God says, stay the course. But it didn't change yet. But it's based on God's timing. It's based on God's timing. I don't understand God's timing. I wish I can come here today and tell you I know exactly what God's timing is, but I don't. But what I do know is that God will always show up at the right time. Do you remember the prophet Elijah? He walked into the palace of Ahab and says to Ahab, there's not going to be rain or dew in this land, but according to my word, and God whisked him out of there. And for 3.5 years, there was no rain. And then God says, now go show yourself to the king Ahab, and I'm going to produce rain. He heard the word of God. He shows himself to Ahab, but rain did not come. There was no rain. Bible says right there in 1 Kings 8 and 2, and Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, and says, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all the fountains of water and unto all the brooks. Peradventure, we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, art thou that my Lord Elijah? And he answered and said, I am. Go tell the Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I sinned, that thou wouldst deliver thy servant from the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord had not sent me to seek thee. And when they said, he's not there, he took an oath of the kingdom of that nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell the Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall say, slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Now this is this discourse that he's having. But God had told Elijah, when you show yourself to Ahab, rain is going to come. Ahab showed himself, or rather Elijah showed himself. No rain. You say, but didn't he hear from the Lord? Of course he heard from the Lord. I'm taking through another aspect right now. So he goes, he confronts the prophets of Baal and Asherah. They had their competition on Mount Carmel. They sacrificed, and instead of water coming down, fire came down. Still no rain. But the word of the Lord was, when you show yourself to Ahab, it's going to rain. Now Jezebel wants to kill him. But the prophet hears, he says, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. I hear it. But still no rain. Elijah, did you hear from God? Absolutely, I'm hearing from God. And he begins to intercede. And he sends his servant out. And the servant goes out first time to check in the direction of the sea. Comes back, says, I don't see anything. Second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time, seventh time. He comes again and he says, I see something. I see a little cloud out of the sea like the man's hand. And he sends word to Ahab, prepare your chariots, get it down, because if you don't, the rain is going to stop you. You're going to get stuck on the way. Ahab takes off, and the rain finally came. And you want to think, but you said when you show yourself to Ahab. Yes. He didn't say immediately when you show yourself to Ahab, that's when the rain is going to come. It just means that is the beginning of it. And sometimes when God directs you in your life, he gives you instruction, you just follow that instruction. It doesn't mean that's the end of it. It just means that's another step in the process. Are you with me so far? Now, it's important that you get that point, because if you don't, you will live a frustrated life as a believer. What you are called to do is not to doubt God. What you're called to do is just obey God. When it doesn't make sense, just keep on obeying. That's the key thing. Obedience. Following the instruction. If I want to go from here to Brandon, I need to head in the direction of Brandon. And as I'm heading towards Brandon, I'm going to see signs on the highway that say Brandon. But I've got to look beyond the name Brandon to see the amount of kilometers. Are you with me? That's checking on the details. Understand that God is a God that wants to keep on talking with you. The Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ in John that the leaders were astonished while his mother and his father were busy looking for him. He was in the temple. The Bible says the leaders were astonished at his wisdom. And if you notice the statement regarding that wisdom, it states that it was based on the questions that he was asking and the answers that he was given. Well, God in you relating with him expects you to ask questions. When you hear from God, you ask questions. And he will give you a little bit, and a little bit there, and a little bit there, and a little bit there, and finally you arrive. He doesn't feed you everything once. I had to learn that as a young believer. And when God gives you an instruction, he doesn't tell you everything. Let me give you a good example. I'm sitting here a few years back, and the Lord says, I want you to raise $100,000. I said, are you serious? He said, I want you to raise $100,000. I said, where? He said, right here, right now. For what? It's time to have the big screen. Oh, okay. We're going to raise $100,000 for this screen. So I came here before you and I started the process. How many of you remember that? What he said was the big screen. He didn't tell me immediately, you are going to have to enlarge the stage, change the carpeting, change the furniture in this place. He just told me about that. And as soon as I jumped into that to obey him in that, he says, and by the way, you know what you're going to do, right? The screen is going to be there. That's going to mean that you don't have your praise and worship team anymore over there. Yeah. Oh, my Lord. But did we get it done? We're sitting here right now, right? Are we not? It got done. It got done. And it got done when COVID was happening, when we could not have church services. How does that make any sense? It makes sense when you hear from God. This is what I want you to do. Yes, sir. And then you find out it's more than that. It's way more than that. It's like trying to renovate your house or something. You think, I'm just going to change this. And then when you take that off, oh my goodness, we have to do this now. And then we have to do that. I didn't plan for all of this stuff. But God had all of that covered already. He doesn't tell you all of it. If God told me, son, I want you to change that. I want you to change this. I want you to change all of that. And I want you to change. Oh, not only did we cover here, we went over to the banquet hall and changed that too. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's God. That's what I'm saying to you. He doesn't tell you everything because it will overwhelm you. And you will give up before you get started. So he starts you somewhere, and then he shows you that there's more to this than what you thought. But now that you've started, you've got to continue. You've got to continue believing him. You've got to continue trusting him. You've got to continue embracing and paying attention to his word. Because now you are in the middle of the lake. And if he doesn't help you, and if you don't listen, you're going to drown. Meanwhile, he's building character inside of you. He's helping you. He's fortifying you. Praise the Lord. That's what learning to hear from God does for you and for me. You got to pay attention to his word. Because with every word he speaks, faith is there. There's not a word of God spoken that isn't wrapped with faith. God tells you something, the faith for it comes along with it. But you have to mix that word with that faith. And the chemical or spiritual reaction of that mix is the manifestation of purpose. How many of you ever were in a science lab? In school, you did some chemistry. Yeah? Just a handful of people? The rest of you were just arts people or what? Well, they are chemical reactions. That's what the word and faith does. But faith, the Bible says, worketh by love. Love is the catalyst. And this morning I talked to you about, from Mark 11, actually let's go there, and I want to show you this. I mentioned this to you earlier this morning, where it says, have faith in God. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. Then it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, whatever it is that you desire, believe that you, well, those things that you desire when you pray, believe that you've received them, and you shall what? Have them. So, the word of God says, believe that you have received what you have not received, and you will have it. So that's how it works. No, seeing is believing. No, the Bible says, believing is seeing. Does it make sense in the natural? But that's how the economy of God works. You believe, then you see. Then it goes on and says, however, when you stand praying, when you're praying, make sure there's no unforgiveness. Forgive. If you have aught against anybody, it says, forgive, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Why is that there? It is there because unforgiveness, which is the lack of the presence of love, will stop you from getting what you need to get. And I can assure you right this very moment that the closer you are to receiving the results that you need to have for your life, somebody or something is going to happen around you to offend you. Did you hear what I said? And that's how you're going to delay the manifestation of God's will and power in your life. Unforgiveness, bitterness is going to creep into your life. It's going to come in there. Somebody's going to do something that's going to upset you, get you angry, and you're going to say, I'm not going to forgive this person. And as you're doing that, it's like using a pin to poke your balloon. It's going to deflate. Do you understand? So he says, while you're believing God in faith, don't have unforgiveness. Don't do it. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Notice in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, teaching us how to pray, he says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and what? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then it goes back. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive your trespasses. So in all of that Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. The one thing he goes back to is forgive. Did you see that? Because all that prayer, you seeking the face of God and unforgiveness is there, means zoch. Getting nothing. You're a double-minded person. And don't expect to get anything from God. When we practice unforgiveness, we're not hurting anybody else. We're hurting ourselves. It's like drinking cyanide and expecting the other person to die. No, you're the one who's going to die. You're drinking the poison. What is unforgiveness related to? The lack of the presence of love. What is unforgiveness related to? When you don't forgive, you cannot hear. You don't hear the other person when unforgiveness is bubbling inside of you. You're deaf to whatever they have to say. And if you're deaf to what they have to say, you'll be deaf to whatever God has to say. I give you an example. I've shared this many times with you through the years. Many years ago, Mama and I spent much time counseling people. And there happened to be this particular sister that was having a crisis in her marriage, and she would call us 1 a.m. in the morning, 2 a.m. in the morning, 3 a.m. in the morning. It was not unusual. We'll wake up, we'll answer her call, we'll pray for her, help her go through this situation that she was going through. And after about 2 or 3 years of this, there was a young man that became part of our fellowship. And we'll talk with her also. And she says to this young man who has a very heavy Caribbean accent, he says, I don't understand Pastor Zeno and Pastor Maria. They have a very strong African accent. When I heard that, I said, really? I have a heavy African accent, but you call me at 2 a.m. in the morning, 3 a.m. Forget you. Don't you? If you call me, I'm not answering my call, that call anymore. And I extended and I said, all these Christians, I'm doing everything for them, and this is how they abuse me. You know, I remember one time we had Christmas, and what the church gave to me for Christmas was one of these red toolbox. Toolbox. They gave me a toolbox. There was hardly any tools in it. They know I'm not going to use toolbox for what? So I can go pound my fingers? No. that was my gift. Nobody gave anything to us. We were given and given and given and given and given and given again, inviting people to our house, feeding them. I said, forget these people. My heart got hardened. Until one day, I couldn't hear God. I couldn't feel God. I had to cry out, I need help. I need help. Because how can I live without hearing God? How can I live my life with a hardness of heart? What's going to happen to me? I cried out to my board. They prayed for me at a board meeting. Nothing changed. I went home. Mama was in bed already. I've told you this story. And I told her, I'm dead inside. She didn't even look at me. She just, her face was facing the window in the bed, and she just did like this, touched me, and pow, it broke off. I felt something change. This was during the time where we had Jimmy Swaggart going through his crisis, scandal, and was crying on television. And I had a television program called Message of Deliverance with Vidian, and I used to tape at the corner of Pembina and Stafford. That's where they used to be. And I'm doing this television program, and I start talking about the people of God, and I had feeling for the people of God. And I was just about to start bawling my eyes out. I cried out to God inside. I said, Holy Spirit, don't do that to me. Not on television. I'm not going to cry like Jimmy Swaggart. No, don't do this to me. Not here. But I was so happy because I could tear up for God's people. Their hardness was broken. Now I could hear God again. And I said to myself that day, never again am I going to let anybody make me hate, not forgive. I don't care what they did. I'm going to find a way to say, God, have mercy. I forgive. I forgive. I forgive. I forgive. Because I cannot live life without love causing faith to work. Your faith worketh by love. And your capacity to hear God and for God to hear you is founded in your love walk. This is important. Because remember what we talked about last Sunday, that in the last days there's going to be seducing spirits. If you don't want to be seduced by the enemy into a lie, then make certain that your love walk is in proper order. Or you find yourself in a sorry place. It's of extreme importance. Don't let anybody steal that capacity from you. Amen? In James 1 and verse 25, he says, "But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty," the perfect law of freedom, that is the law of truth, the law of love, "and continueth therein, he being," present tense continuous, "not a forgetful hearer." A forgetful hearer means that he heard, but he forgot what he heard. And the reason he forgot what he heard is because he did not continue. There are so many things God has spoken to me about through the years. Some of them I forgot because I did not continue. And then he repeats it to me again. I say, "Oh yes, I knew that. I knew that. I knew that. What happened? I did not continue, that's what." God doesn't want you to forget what he's taught you. What I'm talking to you about right now, he doesn't want you to forget it. He says, "He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work." Notice the words there, "but a doer of the work." In perfect instruction, it should be, "He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word." That's how it should read. But it doesn't say, "but a doer of the word." It says, "but a doer of the work." Because God is saying, doing the word is going to manifest the work. I don't do martial arts, but my grandson is learning how to do certain martial arts, and they put a board before him to break it. And he goes, pow, didn't break. So he put it before him again. And he stays there. It was almost like 30 seconds. He's watching it. He's watching it. He's watching it. And people are saying, "Hit it." He didn't listen to anybody. He didn't listen to anybody. He didn't listen to anybody. And then he goes, pow! Broke the board. Huh? How did he do that? He did that by seeing beyond the board to the other side. He saw his hand going through. Are you with me? He saw his hand on the other side of the board. And so when he hit it, his hand was going to where he saw his hand. And that's what God is saying. Being not a doer, he should say, not a doer of the, but a doer of the work, or word. He says, a doer of the work, because the other side is the work. Capish? Are you with me? You sure? This man who is a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He's blessed in his deed because he's not a forgetful hearer. He's continuing. And what God is calling us to do is to continue. Continue. When you're facing obstacles, continue. Just do what you got to do and stick with the program. And in sticking with the program, you will get to the other side. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and 2, this is what God's word says. It says, "It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God," if you listen attentively, "to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. He says, if you listen to my instruction and do what I say, he says, I'm going to set thee on high. It's not you that's going to set yourself. All I want you to do is just listen to what I say and do it. And I'm going to set you on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee. The blessings are going to come on you. They're going to overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. My blessings are going to jump on you and overtake you. What is the point? While you are busy obeying God, while you are busy obeying God, the blessing doesn't look like it's there. It's all struggle, challenges. All of a sudden, boom, blessing jumps on you. And then blessing jumps, after jumping on you, jumps in front of you. And now, from that point on, you're walking in the blessing. It's no longer struggle. It eases up because every step you take is a step into the blessing. And because the blessing is ahead of you now, you're going to be blessed in the city. You're going to be blessed in the field. You're going to be blessed in your belly. You're going to be blessed in your storehouse. You're going to be blessed everywhere, because blessing is ahead of you. It has jumped on you. How did it jump on you? Because you first of all listened to the word of God and obeyed it. Before that, it didn't look like you were blessed. Didn't look like blessing was anywhere close to you. Now you're blessed. It jumps on you. It overtakes you. That's the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Let's look a little bit more. In Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, because you're listening to God, he says, call unto me and I will answer thee. Because there's no difference between you and God anymore. The communication is going both ways. Now you can call upon him. He says, I'm going to answer you. He says in Isaiah, he says, the reason you're not getting your answers is not because my hand is short or because I'm blind or deaf or anything like that. He says, it's because of your sins. Your sins, they have separated you from me. But now he says in Jeremiah 33, he says, you just call on me. He says, I'm going to answer you. And I'm going to show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm going to show you new things, exciting things. Because I hear you and we're in relationship together. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In Psalm 3 and verse 4. He says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. He heard me. I cried, and he heard me. He says, I laid down and slept. I awakened. For the Lord sustained me. He kept me. Yes, I cried unto the Lord because I had issues, I had problems. But I rested myself and God sustained me. And because God sustained me, I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. But notice the context of this statement. He cried unto God. God heard him. And then he says, even though I have thousands of people ganging up on me, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. Why? Because I know the Lord is risen and he's going to save me. And he's going to smite every enemy. So I'm going to relax. I don't have to, you know, the word of God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And then it says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. Psalm 18 talks about how he cried unto God and God rose up and God was wroth and God fought for him. Let God do the fighting. Let God do it. Listen to his instruction. The battle is not yours. Amen? The battle is not yours. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but hear what I'm saying to you right now. The battle is not yours. God will fight for you. You don't need to go about hating. You don't need to go about fighting. You don't need to go about doing anything. Just listen to his instruction. He may use you in one way or the other. He may instruct you to do certain things. Just follow the instruction and rest. Or you will not live to testify of the goodness of the Lord. You become a worrywart. And if you're worrying, you're killing yourself. If you're living in unforgiveness and bitterness, you're poisoning yourself. Your blood is getting poisoned, and you're killing your own system within. Just relax. Say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hear what God's word says and stick with that. And I promise you, you will see the salvation of the Lord. Now, when we say things like this, it almost sounds just words. But they are not just words. If I sat you down and I begin to tell you about the things that Mama and I have gone through, you say, you went through that? Mm-hmm. And you're still here. Mm-hmm. How did you make it? I laid myself to sleep and I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. The challenges, people that you love and you've given yourself your time to, trying to stab you in the back. And while they're trying, you just, like Trump, you moved your head and the bullet flew past. How is that guy still standing? How is he still standing? Well, let me close like this today. I'm not a trumpet or trumpite. But if you've gone through what that man has gone through, accusations, right or wrong, all the wrong tweets and whatever else, every possible thing, all the lawfare, and then the shooting. You will wonder and say, how on earth is anybody going through all of that and still standing? But remember something that we talked about. If people dig holes for you, you can fall into that same pit. The person who's trying to get rid of him through every means possible, guess what? Everything turned against him, and even today, he's no longer running and may end up not being president anymore. The push is for that. It backfires. It backfires. So shall every enemy experience the pain that they wanted to cause you. But the important thing is that you listen to God and help, let Him help you maneuver through life. The battle is the Lord's, not yours. Amen? The battle is the Lord, not yours. So please, relax. Because there are seducing spirits that want to seduce you to take the law into your hands. Two men, while the Ark of the Covenant was being carried, put into a cart just like the way the world did it, and the cart stumbled. They tried to steady it with their hands. And Perez, who tried to do that, is stricken dead. And David gets offended. God, why will you do such a thing to me? Why? Why did I'm trying to help you and you kill somebody? And because of that, he did not bring the ark in. It was in the house of Abinadab for about 20 something years. Abinadab didn't want it anymore. So the ark goes to the house of Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom was not even a real Jew. But when the ark came to his house, blessings came upon him. And David cried out to God and said, what should I do to bring that ark to its rightful place? He read the word of God. And he found out, hey, the ark is not supposed to be put in a cart. It's supposed to be carried on the shoulders of the priest. First time he's trying to bring it, he had all kinds of instruments playing, like they were in New Orleans or something. This time, just a trumpet. But he kept on sacrificing so that every step that they took from there to where the ark was going was stepping on blood. Sacrifice. He did it the right way, and God honored him and honored the nation. What will cause us to experience the blessings of God is our capacity to hear God and obey God. And by the way, you cannot obey God if you've not heard him. So fundamental to everything is hearing God. It's the one thing that you and I need to strive for. God, help me to hear you. Help me to hear you. Because your hearing affects your seeing. That's for another day. Those two work together. When you hear, you see. So let me do it this way, so you understand what I mean. Tree. What did you see? You saw a tree? Yeah? Did you see T-R-E-E or did you see a tree? You saw a tree. What you heard? Vision. The entrance of God's word brings enlightenment. Your capacity to see visions, for that's how the word of God is manifested, happens through the entrance of God's word. When you hear God's word, you see pictures. And God directs you. Amen? Rise with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the capacity to hear. We thank you for the capacity to see. We thank you for the capacity to forgive. We thank you for the capacity to hear your word and to do it. The word of your word says in John 8 that we are truly your disciples when we hear your word and we do it. When we continue in your words, then are we your disciples indeed. And the truth that we know becomes the truth that sets us free. We declare that we are free people through the word of liberty. We're delivered and we're empowered to succeed. There are no challenges that can stop us, for your grace is sufficient. Father, do speedily that which you have promised to do, and may we be the recipients of your glorious move. We declare revival. We declare in the name of Jesus that Operation Full House has been activated in you. And we say yes and amen to your perfect word. All of our needs are met. Personally, they are met. Corporately, they are met. As a congregation, as a church, the needs are met. Lord, O God, our capacity to reach the lost is graced with your presence. And we shall have reason to shout shouts of praise, worship and adoration as we thank you for lives transformed, minds renewed. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. The God we serve is faithful. He is our present help in the times of trouble. And his peace is sufficient. Praise the Lord. The information for you to use to honor God with your giving is going to be on the screen for you to use if you are giving electronically. The information is up for you. And if you are giving in person, of course, you can do so right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Paul to come close in prayer. And I look forward to experiencing the goodness of God with you in the days to come. Saturday is crucial. That's our block party time. Wednesday, the flyers that are going to be distributed, please come and support that plan. And Friday, of course, is prayer meeting. It'll be a time for you to come pray. God bless you. It is on. I'll say hello to
thank you, Father.
Brother John and Sister Jeanette. Is it not on? Can you please turn him on, please? There you go.
Father God, we thank you that you are an awesome, awesome to us. We thank you that we can we thank you that your voice is clear in our hearts. You speak with a still, small voice. Teach us, Father God, how to hear and understand everything that you speak about. Your word, what we hear from our pastors, what we hear from the many ways that you have to speak. Father God, there is no confusion in you. And we need to hear you clearly to know that you are Lord in our lives.
A little bit louder so we can hear you, please.
You are Lord, Father God, in our lives. You are King of Kings. You rule in our hearts. And we thank you, Father God, that we can walk with you everywhere that we go. Every step we take is a step towards your will. We thank you, Father God, that your grace and your mercy and your truth is in us, and that we can hear your voice everywhere that we go.
Amen, Lord.
That there is no confusion in our thinking, but that we know that we know that we know that you are true. You are the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other God that we can go to. There's no other way. And we pursue that and that only in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray a blessing upon the people that have heard you tonight. I pray that they learn how to hear and to walk in your ways each and every moment of the day. That there's a song in their heart, that the Spirit of God will be moving in them to know the truth of the next moment, the next step. We give you glory, we give you praise, and we honor you with everything that we do, doing all things as unto you. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'd like to say it's good to see Brother John and Sister Jeanette.